else, this message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, the Lamb who was slain. As most of you know, during the Sundays in Lent and also last night at our Maundy-Thursday service, I based my sermons on Jesus' letters to us found in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Therefore, tonight's sermon and also this Sunday's sermon will be based on other texts from the book of Revelation. Now, our first reading this evening was from Revelation chapter 5. Where the Apostle John uses various symbols and images to describe a vision that he had been given by God. Now, this was a vision of God's glorious throne. And John saw a scroll appear which contained God's secret master plan for this sinful world. However, John said that only one person was worthy to open the scroll and put God's master plan into action. With that said, let's hear just part of that reading again. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne. The Lamb came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. What an awesome and mysterious scene is being portrayed here. If you close your eyes and picture what John is trying to describe, it's enough to take your breath away. In fact, John uses many symbols to depict this glorious vision. For example, the four living creatures symbolize all creation. Scripture clearly teaches that all creation is constantly praising God the Creator. In addition, John mentions the 24 elders. Now, they are a symbol of the people of God throughout history, the people who have been saved by God. The number 24 represents all believers of all times and places. But you might wonder, why the number 24? Well, in the Old Testament, we know that there were 12 tribes of Israel. And in the New Testament, Christ called 12 apostles to correlate with those 12 tribes. And, of course, 12 plus 12 is 24, which represents the entire people of God throughout history. Now, I could spend all evening talking in detail about the various symbols in the book of Revelation and what they mean, but we don't have time for that. So, for now, I want to focus your attention on just one more symbol. The Lamb. Remember what John wrote? Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. Simply put, this slain lamb is a symbol for Jesus. But why is a lamb a symbol for Jesus? And what does it have to do with Good Friday? Well, I want you to open your ears and I want you to listen closely, because God is about to teach you something wonderful. First of all, in order to understand this lamb image, we need to take a brief look at some Old Testament history. For example, if we go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, we read that God created a perfect world. And Adam and Eve were the first humans, and God created them without sin. They had no evil in their hearts, and they were in a perfect love relationship with God, their Creator. However, as you know, things did not stay that way. The devil, a fallen angel, tempted Adam and Eve to reject God. And as a result, they experienced spiritual death. That is, they no longer trusted God, they no longer loved God, and the result of their spiritual death was that they would also eventually face physical death. And the Bible teaches that their spiritual and physical death has been passed on to us, their descendants. Now, the fact is, God should have rejected them and us for all eternity, but instead, God promised them and us a Savior. God also gave them and us a picture of this Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that God did something surprising. Let me read from Genesis 3. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. Isn't this interesting? They had just spit in God's face and turned their backs on him. He should have poured out his wrath upon them, but instead he performs a loving parental act. He clothes them. But there's more than just this physical protection going on. God is also trying to make a spiritual point. Not only is he covering their bodies to protect them from the physical elements in a now broken world, but he's also covering them to show them that their sin needs to be covered if they are to have a relationship with him. And that's why, my friends, he does not clothe them with leaves as Adam and Eve tried to do. No, God clothes them with animal skin. An animal has to die. Blood had to be shed. A price had to be paid if Adam and Eve and their descendants were to have their sin and shame covered. And so the first blood sacrifice took place when God clothed Adam and Eve with animal skin. Now, with that said, it's very interesting to see how often this practice of animal blood sacrifice comes up throughout Old Testament history. I remember one time years ago at my first parish, I was in a Bible class, and one of the women in the class started to tear up, and I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "I just have a question." I said, "What?" And she said, "Why is there so much blood in the Old Testament?" Good question. And it should be an obvious answer. You see, throughout Old Testament history, we see these animal blood sacrifices. Now, I don't have time to deal with all the examples of these sacrifices, so I will pick a few and show you how they point us ahead to Jesus, God's promised Savior. So if we skip ahead several hundred years from Adam and Eve to the time of Abraham, we find that God makes a very strange request of Abraham one day. You see, God had given Abraham a son in his old age. The boy's name was Isaac, and Abraham loved him dearly. God promised Abraham that Isaac would carry on the family line through which the Savior of all people would be descended. So not only did Abraham love Isaac, but he knew that Isaac would be the one through whom the Messiah would come. All the more reason to cherish Isaac. But then one day, God told Abraham to take Isaac, his only son whom he loved, kill him, and give him back to God. Now, even though Abraham was shocked and confused, he obeyed God. But why did Abraham obey God? Was Abraham scared of God? No. Abraham trusted God. He trusted that God would be faithful to his loving promise to send the Savior into the world through Isaac as he promised. Now, of course, Abraham didn't understand why God was asking him to do this, but he believed that God would be faithful nevertheless. The Bible teaches us that Abraham believed that God would either provide a substitute sacrifice at the very end, or he would simply have to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham trusted God's word. Well, you know how it all turns out. God does not allow Abraham to kill Isaac, his only son. Instead, God provides a substitute sacrifice, and it just happens to be a lamb. And that lamb was a symbol of Jesus, God's only son. The Lamb of God. God would sacrifice His only Son so that we might be saved from our sin and the death we deserve. Next, let's skip ahead a few hundred years to the time when God's people were enslaved in Egypt. God sent 10 plagues on Egypt in order to humble Pharaoh so that he would release God's people. And the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn male child in every family of the land. However, God had provided a way for His people to be spared from this plague. They were to take a perfect male lamb, kill it, and then smear its blood on the door frames of their homes. And when the angel of death came and saw the blood of the lamb, he would pass over that house, and the male firstborn child would be spared. Once again, the Passover lamb is a symbol of Jesus and His death for us. If Jesus' blood covers us through faith in Him, then death will pass over us. In other words, our sin will not separate us from God. Finally, many years after the Passover event, God's people were living in the Promised Land. God, at this point, had told them to build a temple in Jerusalem, and in this temple there were priests who would offer blood sacrifices on the altar. Now, one of the most common sacrifices in the temple was, you guessed it, the lamb. And all these blood sacrifices were pictures of the one sacrifice that would bring salvation from sin for all people. This fact reminds me of what the prophet Isaiah wrote almost 800 years before Jesus was born. Listen to these words from Isaiah 53. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, and yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Well, by now, it should not surprise us why John the Baptist said what he did when he saw Jesus approaching the crowds. Remember what John said? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In fact, last night we celebrated Maundy Thursday. The night before Jesus died, he was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. But this was a Passover like none before. This time, they ate and drank the body and blood of the real Lamb of God. This reminds me of what the Apostle Paul once wrote. We heard it tonight in our second reading from 1 Corinthians. He wrote, Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. The Lamb was slain. And in the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us the body and blood that He gave and shed on the cross for our salvation. Tonight is Good Friday. Good Friday is the time we especially focus on the cross and what Jesus did for us there. On that cross, the Lamb of God was slain. He was slain for you and me, for all people. God put our evil, our guilt, our shame, our death upon His only Son. On the cross, the innocent Lamb of God suffered our damnation so that we might live now and forever as God's dearly loved children. And my friends, that's why God does all that He can to humble us and convict us of sin, so that we will put our faith in Jesus. The Lamb of God, through whom we receive forgiveness and new life with God that will never end. Think of it, my friends. God had every right to damn us for all eternity because we have doubted His word and we have sinned against Him just like our first parents, Adam and Eve. But God loves us sinners so much that He killed His own Son in our place. Jesus' blood paid the price for your salvation. In fact, that reminds me of what the Apostle Peter once wrote. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "You know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Jesus is the Lamb who was slain. Jesus' blood has purchased our salvation. Remember our reading from Revelation 5, John writes, "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Did you hear those wonderful words? You now belong to God because the Lamb was slain for you. You are no longer a slave of the devil. You belong to God. And that means you get to live as His child now and for all eternity. But wait just a minute, someone might say. How can the Lamb give us eternal life? If the Lamb was slain, doesn't that mean He's dead? No. You see, it was no mere man that hung on that cross. Jesus was God in human flesh. Our sin and our death could not hold Him down. Praise the Lord, Jesus is alive. We don't worship a dead martyr, we worship a living Lord. As we will hear this Sunday, the Lamb now reigns. However, even though the Lamb now reigns, He never, ever wants us to forget the cross. And that's why we have Good Friday. We need to remember what Jesus did to save us. In fact, that's why John wrote these words. "Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain." Jesus is alive, but he still bears the scars of his crucifixion. Even though the lamb lives, his scars still remain. You might recall that when the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples, he showed them his hands and his side. Why? Because Jesus never wants us to forget the price he paid for our salvation. I think it's sad that so many more people turn out for Easter Sunday than they do for Good Friday. Could it be that our culture only wants to think about the victory, but not about the price that Jesus had to pay to get that victory? So my friends, as you leave tonight, picture the risen Jesus in your minds. See the nail scars in his hands and his feet. See the scars on his head where he wore that crown of thorns. See the scar in his side where the Roman soldier jabbed his spear. See the scars on his back where the whip ripped out chunks of flesh. Behold the living Lamb who was slain, because then you will remember how much God loves you. Go in peace tonight and live for the Lamb who was slain for you. Amen. Now may the peace